Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and make Him known. We now offer two services on Sunday mornings. Our classic service begins at 8:30 a.m. and our modern service is at 10:45. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church to find out more about how we are making disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in this week's message from God's Word.
Did anyone feel that earthquake this morning? I didn't either. I was awoken, though, in the middle of the night this morning. I was. I'm not a light sleeper. I'm not a deep sleeper. I guess I'm kind of in between. Maybe I'm a lighter sleeper than I realize. But at 3:47, I thought I heard someone break a window in my house or a glass near the front door of my house. I was not sure. And it was loud. And so I quickly grabbed my Springfield XES 9mm and I went to go inspect. And I look at the doors. There's nothing on the doors. I'm looking around. I rush upstairs, check on the youngest one. He's fine. Nate is with a friend in North Carolina. So I knew he wasn't up there. And so I'm like, all right. So I go down. It woke Gracie up, my daughter. And I'm like, are you all right? Yes. And so I'm looking. I don't see anything. So I'm like, I'm going to go to her room just to double check. And she's fine. And then there in the hallway next to the kitchen is a closet that is underneath the stairwell. And my wife, as many of you know, she bakes. And she has all her baking pans and supplies. And I guess the door wasn't closed all the way. In the middle of the night, boom, it just came out everywhere in the hallway. And I'm happy to report, no cake pans were shot last night. But we can easily in life be surprised, right? And there's really kind of two types of peace. There's a sustaining peace that the Lord gives, and there's kind of that quick peace that surprise can take away, and definitely had that last night. But yeah, there was an earthquake, though, and what was the name of it? It was in the top part, northern part, western, northwest part of North Carolina. I guess a 5.1 on the Richter scale. It was a pretty good size one. But so we're continuing this series, The Struggle is Real. And the subject today that we're going to focus in on is the subject of peace. How to have peace. And many are searching for peace right now. Maybe in your life, your back is up against the wall in your business, whether you own it or whether you just work in your business and you know it's a tough situation. Maybe you walked in here and this morning and your family is in the middle of a conflict. And you know, when it comes to family conflict can be very messy and very difficult. And I mean, it can really just steal your peace in life. There's some that are battling or concerned about the illnesses of others in their life, their own physical health. And still others face problems that we sometimes can't even imagine in which they're going through. In life, things can quickly come into our life that want to take our peace. And you wonder, is there a light at the end of the tunnel? I want you to know something. Jesus is not the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is not the light at the end of the tunnel. This is what Jesus is. Jesus is the light that comes into your darkness, into your tunnel, to give you hope, to give you peace, to walk with you through the midst of difficulty. That's who Jesus is. I was golfing with a young man yesterday in the golf tournament, a man I had never met before. I don't golf much. I think I've golfed twice in the last year. I enjoy doing it every now and then, but it's just not really a hobby of mine, mostly because you got to pay to be really good, and I just don't want to pay to be really good in the hot weather, and just not my first love, as some enjoy. I enjoy sports, but just not that one near as much. But I was golfing with a guy who's very good, which is always interesting. But in talking with him, we were talking about religion, He didn't know I was a pastor until I got up and prayed over the golf tournament. Like, oh, I got stuck with the pastor. I got set up. Man, maybe you did. But anyway, so But we were talking, and he asked, we were talking about the different world's religions and things that what if that's the truth, and what's this the truth? And I said, his name was Josh. I said, Josh, I'm going to explain something. And we went deeper into the conversation. I said, there's a simple difference between Christianity and the rest of the world's religions. Without getting into each world religion and dissecting it and talking about it and discussing it, which I always enjoy doing those things, I said the number one difference is this, is Christianity is about how God has reached down to mankind, that God became flesh, dwelt among man, and went on their level and offered grace and mercy and forgiveness right to them. And that's Jesus. Jesus came into our darkness. And that's what he does. That's what a good shepherd does. But the rest of the world's religions, you can sum them up this way. It's either about you becoming your own God, or you trying to work your way to reach God, to earn your way to him. And you can't earn his grace. You can't. In fact, you can't earn Christianity. If there's a gospel, and this is taught in some sections of Christianity, one, the Catholic Church would be one, and I love Catholic people, but what is taught there in the Catholic Church is that you need to do your part in working for your salvation and have faith. But the gospel, biblically, it is by faith and by faith alone. You see, we do good works because we are saved, or we are born again, not to become born again, not to be saved, not to be accepted in that way. That's what we see biblically the gospel is about. It's about faith and repenting of our sins. That's what Jesus does. He comes into our darkness. Some this morning, you may feel like you are worthless, and you may think to yourself, you know, I may think that you stink, that you just hate yourself, and there's no peace in your life. There's no peace with yourself. There are some who feel like they're not lovable, and many of those folks tend not to have any peace with other people around them. There are some who just have bitterness in their heart and their soul, and they feel that their life just stinks, and there's no peace between them and God. I want you to know that you can find peace this morning, and you can experience it. We're going to see this in the passage over in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 6. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Then, you got to do those things. You do have to do your part when it comes to this and maturing and growing in your faith. Then you will experience, not maybe, not possible, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you've heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Go back to that first slide there at the beginning of Philippians chapter 4. What Paul is telling us is this. He is saying there is peace through prayer. There is peace through prayer. This is, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray. You know what worry is? Worry is a flashing, loud, warning light telling you and I as Christians that it's time to pray. What are you worrying about? Have you really prayed about it? Have you really given it to God? There may be things you're worried about right now, and it is eating you up. It's eating you up. And there's just no peace. You're focused on the negative, not the positive. You are focused on that. Notice what it says. It says that his peace will guard your hearts and minds. We need Jesus to help us to have peace. In fact, you don't have to guard it. He will guard it for you. But are you praying about it? Are you giving it to him? You can have peace through prayer. I tell you, we can really appreciate the book of Philippians when we know the environment in which it was penned in. It was penned by the Apostle Paul in a filthy first century prison. How could Paul write such positive words in such a negative place? Notice, why didn't he mention the stench, the cold, the bugs, the mistreatment, the rats, the loneliness, the poor nourishment, the food that was there, that he suffered in prison while he was writing? He was focused on what was positive. You see, the answer is right here in this verse. He wasn't focused on the negative. He didn't want the church at Philippi or us to focus on the negative. If we are constantly thinking about our circumstances, we will never have peace. Our thought patterns are extremely important to our mental health, physical, and spiritual health. We can think ourselves into mental and physical distress. Solomon wrote this. Solomon wrote, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." With that being the case, how does one get a joyful heart? Is it through joyful circumstances? No. There's nothing joyful about prison or a deep, difficult decision or where you find yourself in. Notice what he says here in verse 8. He says, "Now, dear brothers, sisters, one final thing. I want you to fix your thoughts. I want you to focus on thinking like this." He's saying, I want you to think positively. On what, though? Not just the general mindset, I'm just going to be positive about everything. There's some things I don't want to be positive about, right? Waking up at 3:47 in the morning and grabbing your gun to go check out, see if someone broke into your house. You know, that's not a positive thing, right? Not temporary. But undercurrent of peace. He's saying, I want you to fix your thoughts. I want you to focus on these things. What is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely. Now, Paul could have focused on the struggles. And Paul, man, he had some struggles. If you don't know much about the Apostle Paul, here's some interesting things about the Apostle Paul. You can picture him sitting on a cold stone floor, and maybe he could have wrote about how he escaped in a basket over a wall after he had accepted Christ. I mean, his name went from Saul to Paul for a reason. I mean, he wanted to change his identity from capturing Christians to becoming a Christian. It changed from Saul to Paul, and they had to let him loose because the people of the town wanted to kill Paul. Now, that's some rough stuff. But then his missionary journeys, he was shipwrecked. While he was shipwrecked on an island, he got bit by a snake, and yet he didn't die, and God used that in a miraculous way. There was times he was stoned and left for dead. Stoned and left for dead. He could have talked about how he was in the middle of great riots. I mean, read the book of Acts and where Paul in Ephesus, and there's basically a riot that's getting ready to break out, and they want to take out Paul. I mean, you talk about difficult circumstances. You talk about a circumstance in which you're like, man, I don't know if I can have peace right now during this circumstance. Paul knows. And so as we read the Bible, it is so relevant to our lives that, yeah, things change. We're in the middle of dealing with a pandemic. We're in the middle of being concerned about the economy. We're concerned, maybe you're concerned about your job. And this is what I've noticed during this time, is that small things that were never dealt with in marriages are having to be dealt with. Issues that have been in families that were kind of ignored and swept under the rug, they've been magnified. And I want you to know you can have peace this morning, and it starts with prayer. It starts with prayer. But then he kind of moves on. In verse 9, he says, tells us to fix our thoughts on these things he mentions. He says, keep putting into practice all you've learned. All right? So Paul's like, you've learned some things. I want you to put that into practice. And received from me. He's showing the example. Everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. So everything you've learned, you received, you've heard, and you saw, I want you to continue that. Then, it's conditional, then the God of peace will be with you. And so we have peace through prayer. And Paul is saying there's peace through obedience of following God's word. And the way in which we do this, of having obeying him, is what he's saying, is that we need to look at our habits and how we think in our lives. See, how we deal with problems in our thinking, the way we think is shaped by a couple different ways. One, our family, our friends, our media, the Lord. And the problem is when the Lord saved us, he didn't erase or change all the faulty ways in which we think. And our enemy knows, he likes to capitalize on past programming of our mind. And the enemy does not want us to think like Paul told us to think. So just as you are what you eat, you are what you think. Pretty simple. Junk in, watch junk, read junk, listen to junk, you're going to have junk. A wise man once said, whatever's in the well comes up in the bucket. What's ever really going on inside you, it will come out. It will come out. You see, God's cure for evil thinking is to fill our minds with that which is good. I want you to know, you see, godly thinking, according to God's word, equals godly living. You ever been around somebody, it seems that even when they try to do right, that evil or just bad things happen to them, it's like it follows, it's like they are a magnet for it. I've known some people, I have some family members like that. Here's why. Because they're not thinking godly. They've dabbled in things. They've not gotten things right with God. They may really be a Christian, and they're running from God. And God's like, man, this is going to follow you. But godly thinking results in godly actions. We can't think evil and live righteously. It doesn't work. It doesn't go hand in hand. And so, what about our habits? See, habits, God knows, and Paul, as he's writing this, the Lord is directing Paul to write this to you and I, that our habits matter. 40% of your actions are not conscious decisions, but habits. So habits are in your life to a large extent, a sum of your habits, good and bad. And so you can take control of your life, your outlook, by changing your habits. It takes about 66 days of starting a new habit, 66 days, to have that kind of take root in your brain. Habits never truly disappear. They simply are overpowered by new habits in what you bring into your life. So what are your habits? A survey showed that the daily habit of self-acceptance was the cause of most people's happiness. Interesting. It's interesting. You see, when you see yourself like God sees you, when you realize that God has a purpose for you, he has a general purpose for all Christians, he has a specific purpose for you as well, because we know this because God gifts Christians differently through the Holy Spirit. But I want you to know something. If you're not willing to follow the general purpose that God has for all believers, do you think God's going to show you further his specific will and design for you? He will not. He will not. He's going to show you through his word and through the leading of the Holy Spirit. He will show you what he has for you. So let me ask, how are your habits? Habits are our brain's way of increasing efficiency. Our brain turns daily actions and behaviors into habits, so we can do certain things automatically without much thinking. Think about the last time maybe you worked on a project or you were building something, and you had to build many of them. And the first time you built something or you were doing something, maybe even in your house, let's just take something as simple as changing, men or ladies, an outlet in your home. You need to change that. Maybe you've never done it before. Like, am I going to electrocute myself? What steps do I need to take? Should I shut this off? Should I do this off? And so it's your first time, and you're changing that. And once you do one, the second one, you'll learn a little bit more. And then by the time you're doing three or four, you've done projects like that before where you don't have to think about certain things near as much because you're learning. It's our brain's way, the way God made us. How awesome is that? The way God made us so we can use our brain for other things of times of that we need to be efficient.
This process is called chunking. Yeah, chunking. And it is the root of habits. So every day we rely on these chunks of behavior unconsciously. So brains are in the business of gathering information and steering behavior appropriately. Did you know this? 20% of what you consciously decide to do, right, will determine 80% of what you do subconsciously. So what choices are you making in your life? If you're always choosing to be stressed, to focus on the negative, guess what you're going to do in your life? You're going to be stressed. You're going to always be negative. You're always going to focus on how you can control things in which God has never wanted you to control. And you can come up with the excuse, well, my family's always been kind of negative. Okay? We know in our lives, hey, our jobs, our decisions we make, the family, our friends, they help shape us. It's true. But you, the man or woman in the mirror, you make that choice. And so peace comes through prayer. Peace comes through obedience. So don't blame your spouse. Don't blame the neighbor. Don't blame your mom or dad. What are you subconsciously deciding to do? It's one of the reasons that in our lives that we have spiritual habits in our life. When you get used to reading the Bible every day, it becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of what you do. Of spending time in prayer becomes a part of what you do. What spiritual habits do you have? You know, you probably don't think much about how you're going to brush your teeth, because you brush your teeth, I hope, at least twice a day, right? In the morning, in the evening. Maybe you brush it 3 times a day. Maybe you're one of those people who brushes it once, you know, every day, and you still don't get cavities. By the way, no one likes you. But we need these godly habits. It will set you up to have peace in the Lord when difficult times come, or will it set you up for failure spiritually? In this time in which we're living in, I believe we'll see mental health and mental illness on the rise. And the number one reason, as I mentioned last week, I'm not setting aside that there are folks who need medicine for certain mental illnesses. I'm not debating that. But what I am saying is this, is that some of the undercurrent things of our habits will lead to mental illness because we have not taken care of those things mentally and we have not obeyed what Scripture has told us to do. Amen. And we're going to see that. So who are you trusting in? You can have peace through prayer. You can have peace through obedience. Here's the last one. You can have peace through faith. Now, faith isn't just a hope-so faith. Like, well, I hope that works out. I'll just have faith. No, no, no. This is what faith really is. Faith, according to Scripture, is faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Do you believe God's telling the truth in His Word? And I want you to know there's hope, because as a born-again Christian, as a Bible-believing Christian, we have the ability to think like Christ thinks. It's what Scripture tells us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. It says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we," talking about believers, "have the mind of Christ." God has given you the ability to think like Christ thinks because He is your Savior. He is your Lord. We have that potential even when our thinking is not right or even there. And so this is what we're seeing. We're seeing prayer leads to obedience. Obedience leads to faith and peace with the Lord and peace in life. In fact, the Bible says that we must use when we have spiritual conflict in our minds. 2 Corinthians mentions and tells us that we are to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The book of Proverbs tells us, as a man thinks within himself, so he is. The way you think and what you think of yourself, it does matter. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, acceptable, perfect will of God. So Scripture tells us, it says, man, take those thoughts captive. When there's a thought that should not be, and you know it's not godly, take it captive. Maybe there's something you need to change your environment and get up and walk out, or go do something else. You need to change what you're doing. Maybe you're on your phone way too much. Maybe you're in a certain place way too much. You need to change what you are doing, because there's times in which we need to renew our mind. And when we do not, we have part of the issue in our lives today of missing out on the peace of God. There's no peace like God's peace. You see, our peace and our joy, real peace and joy, it comes from God. And even when your circumstances are not fun, when your circumstances are less than ideal, like the Apostle Paul, writing this in a prison, he can be your peace. You can find joy despite where you're at. You say, I don't know if I can do that. I want to show you a Bible verse, a passage that continues here in Philippians 4, verse 11. This is what Paul wrote. He says, I know how to live on almost nothing and with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation. So Paul's saying, here's the secret. I'm going to answer this secret for you that people are searching for. Whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, he's saying, whether I'm rich or I'm poor, this is what he wrote. And this, it says, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. And we'll see this Bible verse that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We've seen this written on shoes. We've seen this written on, athletes' faces, and they're using it for sports. It has nothing to do with sports. It's saying that you can do this. You can have peace with God. You can have joy. You can experience that through any difficult situation in which you go through. You can experience the peace and the love and the joy of God. That's what that Bible verse means. It has nothing to do with throwing a ball or shooting a basketball. It has everything to do with how you can live your life in a difficult time. And you can have and experience the peace of God. You can't help. You can't help if the birds fly over your head. But Christian, you can't help whether you let the bird make a nest on it. So during this time, and I don't know what everyone is going through. Some of you, and it's so good to have some of you back. There's a couple of you I know here this morning. Man, I haven't been here since everything started and with the pandemic. I'm so glad you're back. You've been watching online, and I know there's people watching online that haven't been back yet, and we can't wait to see them again. I don't know what everyone's going through. We can easily put on a different kind of mask and fool people. But God knows what's going on inside. And the Holy Spirit, here's the wonderful thing, church. The best counselor you can have, don't miss this. The best counselor you can have in life is the Holy Spirit. That's what he's called. Jesus called the Holy Spirit our counselor. And he will help you. If you let him, he will help you. He will control you. He'll help you lead that kind of life that God wants you to live. That's right at your fingertips that God has given to you. Don't miss it. Maybe you're here and you're watching or you're listening. And you don't know Christ as your Savior. You've never made that decision to become a born-again believer. Maybe you believe in God, but you've never made that decision. You can make that today. And Christ offers it to all people. The first thing is to simplify this and we'll be done, is realize that we all have sinned and we fall short of what God requires for heaven. And because of that, each one of us, every one of us, we deserve death and we deserve hell. You may be a good person. You may help people out. But, I'm better. You may think to yourself, I'm better than some Christians I know. And you might be, humanly speaking. But our sin, the consequence of our sin is death and hell. But Christ came to offer forgiveness for you. And if you will repent, that means turn away from your sin, and ask Christ to save you, and put your faith and belief in Him, He will save you, and the Bible says He will make you new. And in your life, you don't have to view Jesus or anything else as a light at the end of the tunnel. Jesus will come into your dark tunnel, and He will walk alongside of you, and He will help you, and He will guide you, and you never, ever have to be alone again. Let's pray. Father, we come before your throne thankful that as Christians we're not alone, that we have the Holy Spirit who is God that lives inside of us, that counsels us during difficult times, that speaks to us through the Word of God. Father, I pray that if there's someone here this morning that wants to accept you, they want to become a born-again Christian, and they've never done that before. They've never made that decision, but they realize this is the moment and this is a time in which they want to experience peace. They want to have the joy that comes from deep within, that only comes from you. Won't you pray with me? If that's what you would like to do here this morning, pray, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I realize my sin will lead to death and hell. Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins and to be my Lord and Savior. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you prayed that, please send us a message and let us know. We'd love to celebrate with you.